Your landline might not be there for you when the power goes out. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. Surprise, more than 40% of Americans still have a landline, at least according to a 2017 report from the Centers for Disease Control. People keep them around for convenience, reliability, and emergencies, so they can still make calls if the power goes out because of an earthquake, a fire, or some other disaster. But actually, only about 20% of households have good old copper phone lines, according to the trade group U.S. Telecom. The rest are digital connections, or voice over IP. AT&T has been pushing for almost a decade to drop analog landline service completely and move to an all-digital network for landlines. Telecom say it's a lot cheaper to operate just one network. But are IP phone lines as reliable as the old tech? Joan Engebretson is executive editor at Telecompetitor, an industry publication focused on broadband and telecom.
It's a totally different technology, and if the power were to go out, your phone wouldn't work. Very often, though, people do have a cell phone, and, you know, maybe that might still work. Also, there are batteries available that will give you 8 hours of backup, and in most areas, that's plenty.
Do consumers know that? I mean, I didn't have one of those batteries.
Yeah, that is a good question. To the extent that people are moved on to VoIP, their phone company is supposed to tell them that and explain that to them.
Mm. Is there a weak link in our emergency infrastructure, though, if people have a harder time making calls when the power's out?
That is a possibility, but there's some bigger issues that relate to moving to IP throughout the whole communications network. There's been a number of what they call sunny day outages of 911 services around the country, and it's happening in part because of the shift towards IP communications. Instead of having, you know, huge numbers of public safety answering points around the country that take the 911 calls, the calls are getting concentrated into a smaller number of locations, and they're often backed up by software that runs in data centers. And if there's a glitch in maybe a software update or something like that, it can impact many more public service answering points compared to in the past when, you know, each answering point had its own software and so on. And so if there was a problem, it was very limited. There have been a number of pretty major 911 outages that related to, software glitches that were part of the next generation infrastructure. So there's good and bad towards moving to more IP-based 911. You can get more capabilities with being able to send photos, but then you also need to make sure that you've got really rigorous procedures in place for making sure that the software remains operational at all times.
Joan Engebretson is executive editor at Telecompetitor. A public agency report on the fires that hit Northern California's wine country last year found that almost two-thirds of people they polled lost their landline connections at some point during that disaster. And now for some related links. Speaking of fires and emergencies, CNN last month reported that many people in Paradise, California, which was leveled by the massive Camp Fire last month, didn't get emergency alerts about the fast-moving fires or got them way too late. Apparently, landlines were automatically enrolled in Butte County's alert system, but cell phones have to opt in. In other news, remember a few weeks ago when I told you about all those phone apps that target kids with creepy advertising, largely in violation of the law? Well, Verizon-owned Oath was all hold my juice box. The company that was formed out of the union of AOL and Yahoo will pay almost $5 million to settle charges that it violated the federal law against collecting data on kids under 13 and targeting them with online advertising. According to the settlement with the New York Attorney General's office, AOL used its ad exchange to target ads to kids on sites like Roblox.com based on their web history and location information. It's the biggest fine a company has had to pay for violating COPPA, the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act. Verizon neither confirmed nor denied the findings in the case. And finally, I am embarrassed to admit that I seriously did not know that Tumblr had become a safe place to let your freak flag fly, but evidently it had. And people are not happy about the site's sudden and, let's be honest, really open-ended and vague announcement earlier this week that it would remove, quote, adult content. But in retrospect, we do seem to be moving toward a future where we hold online platforms responsible for what gets posted online. And I'm pretty sure we warned you that that would lead to widespread and preemptive censorship, didn't we? Yeah, we did. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. Listeners like you who give to Marketplace do more than just keep us on the air. You help us grow and get better. It's a way to directly support independent reporting and journalism you trust, and to make it possible for us to tell the stories of modern life through our digital economy. And when you give today, the impact of your gift will be doubled thanks to our friends at Candida. Donate now at marketplace.org to make your donation go twice as far. And thank you.